You're listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. My name is Lynn, and today I want to give you a little bit of education about addiction, about types of addiction, what it is, and can you get past it? When people think of addiction, oftentimes the first thing they think of is alcohol, drugs, but there's also addiction to food, to sugar, to people, pornography, cats, shopping, and smoking seems to be an addiction that people forget is actually an addiction. When we are addicted to something, the reason that we become addicted, that we begin using in the first place, is we feel like there's something missing. There's something off. We're lacking somehow. And we begin using whatever it is, our choice, to make ourselves feel better or to feel normal. And everything that we use to try to make ourselves feel better, feel normal, it has to be amped up each time. You can't just have one thing that makes you feel better and you're good, you know, makes you feel whole. You end up having to add more and more. Sometimes it's more of the same. Sometimes it's more of the same until that hits a plateau and then you have to do something different or a new addiction. And it happens because we feel like we aren't enough, like there's something missing in us. And if it was easy as adding a new outfit, you know, we'd be set. But for shopping addicted people, they know finding that perfect outfit is great for that moment. Then they need to shop some more. They need to find the other perfect outfit. They need to find that next high. I comment sometimes that for women, shopping is a lot like hunting is for men. It's the thrill of the hunt. Men would probably argue that that's not the case because men actually, you know, consume what they're hunting. They tend to use it for food for their families and things like that. But it's the idea that you have to find something. And when you're shopping, the thing you find makes you feel better, makes you feel happy. You get a euphoric high from accomplishing something. And I'm sure it's the same with hunting. The difference is you can only hunt so much legally. And with shopping, it's unlimited. The categories are unlimited. And it never ends because you're trying to find something to make you feel whole. And when you're shopping to do it, there's just never going to be enough stuff. When you use alcohol for trying to feel complete, trying to feel okay, taking the edge off, trying to feel like you fit in. The thing with alcohol is alcohol always starts out as a party. You know, I've not heard, I've been to a lot of, you know, recovery meetings, and there's not a lot of alcohol stories that begin with the sad, desperate, lonely that they usually end with. Alcohol is always a party. You know, you get together with your friends, everybody's hanging out and having fun. And somebody says, you know, hey, you want a beer? I don't really drink, you know, or I'm too young. Oh, come on, have a beer. It'll feel good. Oh, these taste great. Have you tried the new one? Oh, these taste so good, you know. And so alcohol always starts out as a party. There's lots of happiness. There's lots of camaraderie. There's friendship is associated with drinking. You know, you go to a bar and sit with lots of other people and hang out and sometimes sing if you're drunk enough. And alcohol's a party. But when you become addicted to it, when you are an alcoholic and you cannot have just one drink to relax or because it tastes good, when you can't control your drinking and you're using it to feel better or to delay feeling the stress, the problems of your life, that's when it's a big deal. It's a problem. And many people have seen and heard the effects of alcoholism, so I won't go into detail with that. But the thing with alcohol is, alcohol is a depressant. And when you're already feeling bad about yourself, your life, using a depressant to distract you from that life, even for a few moments, is a really bad thing to do. Because when you sober up the next day, later that day, whatever, that feeling of emptiness that you had about yourself is still there. You know, that feeling of depression of your life not going the way you wanted it to is still there. And that's true of every addiction. But with alcoholism specifically, if you don't get around to addressing the problem that caused you to drink in the first place, then even when you go to those 12-step meetings and you find a way to stop consuming alcohol, you'll still be the same person you were when you started drinking. You know, if you don't work the steps, and if you're not familiar, you can look up 12 steps. You can find it anywhere. But if you don't work the steps, if you don't do a lot of deep soul searching of why did I start doing this to begin with, and look at the bitterness that you have in your life for past events, the guilt you have for not doing enough in your past, when you don't look at why you thought alcohol would make you better, you'll end up drinking again. And it could be a matter of months, it could be a matter of 20-30 years. But as with all addictions, and alcohol especially, if you don't look at why did you start drinking in the first place, what are you trying to hide from, if you don't address that, you're never going to get better. Drugs, those are kind of the private shame. You know, a buddy may say, hey, try one of these are great. But pretty much drug use, you're kind of on your own. Because even if you're with a couple other people when you're shooting up or whatever, it's all internal perspective. They're incredibly expensive. And depending on your finances, you may be able to be a drug addict for a significant length of time before you start having to face some serious consequences of it. Because many times addicts don't start facing their consequences until they can't get their drug. You know, as long as you can keep using and paying your way through your circumstances, your consequences, you don't really have to face what you're doing as quickly as those who can't afford to keep using the drugs. You know, it's going to lead to criminal activity so that you can get to where you have the money to use your drugs again. And drugs numb you from your feelings, or they force you to be happy, even against the circumstances in your life that indicate you probably shouldn't be happy. But now you've added problems of potentially criminal charges, you know, being caught up in the legal system, problems that now have worse consequences, and your life is now more frustrating and more difficult and more hopeless than it was before you started using drugs. I want to talk a little bit about food addiction. The problem with food addiction is we all have to eat. So when you are a human being, you need to eat food to stay healthy, to have energy to do anything. And it can be difficult to try to control your eating that's the same as an alcoholic saying, you know, one drink is never enough and 1,000 is too, never, you know what, I said it wrong. One drink is too many and 1,000 is never enough. And it's the same with food addiction, where you have to eat to live. You have to eat to be healthy and have energy. But when you use food to feel comfort, everybody knows about comfort foods. When you're using food to feel good, when something tastes so good that it makes you happy, and you use food in a way that stifles your feelings because, oh, can't deal with that now, I gotta eat, or you hide what you're eating or that you're eating, you know, and of course there's bulimia, so you add in, I've eaten, but I threw up, so the weight didn't matter. You know, I didn't have to worry about calories. And it's just, it's a very difficult thing when you have an addiction to food, because when you're feeling bad, people feed you. So if you're having a difficult life and you're trying to get away from food addiction, you're trying to eat healthy, and you're trying to do the right thing for your body, and you're trying to make healthy decisions for your life, and you're struggling and you're sad and you're depressed and you're just having problems, what's the first thing that your loved ones and friends do? Hey, let's go out for dinner. Come on, I know you've been having a tough time. Let's go out for dinner. And they're literally feeding into the problem that you're trying to recover from. You know, when neighbors see that there's a crisis, you know, if someone passes away, neighbors, total strangers who live on your street, show up with food. You know, mom says, you know, oh, I haven't seen you all day. Come in and have a bite to eat. You know, food is love, as the expression goes. And a lot of people believe that lie. And they eat because they think that's love. And food is not love. Food is food. And food should be eaten to have energy, to have your body be healthy, and very little else, you know. It can be really difficult to remember that you're not a dog and you don't need a treat every time you do something good. And you're no longer a toddler. You don't need a cookie when you've had a bad day. No, food is not love. Love is love. And when you love yourself enough, you can see past the food addiction and recover. There's also sugar addiction, and I'm addressing this a bit separately than food addiction. Because sugar, and I'm talking added white sugar into foods. I mean, there's certainly sugar in apples and oranges and all the healthy things. But I'm talking about sugar that's added into foods where it doesn't belong. You know, if you buy a jar of applesauce and it contains added sugar, why? You know, apples are already sweet. Sweet potatoes, can of sweet potatoes, they load it up with sugar and heavy syrup. Why? You know, it's already sweet. The reason they do that is because sugar is more addictive than crack. Sugar makes you want more immediately. And I talked to a heroin addict recently who made the comment that once he uses, the very first thing he thinks is, I have to do something to get more. Sugar is the same way. When you eat sugar, you want more sugar, and you want more sugar and more sugar. And our bodies naturally have a sensor in our brain that after eating so much sugar, eventually we hit a point where we're okay. But it starts over again the next day or even later that day where we want more. We have to have more. And I will confess here, people make fun of me, but I will confess here that I'm a sugar addict. I am in recovery. I'm doing pretty good. But sugar addiction doesn't always look like a bad thing. For example, I was eating yogurt. Okay, well, yogurt is healthy. You know, there's calcium, there's protein, there's good stuff in there for you. Except that I was eating yogurt many times a day. And I'm not talking 3 or 4. I'm talking 15. And this was not my sole diet. I was having breakfast, lunch, and dinner like a normal person would. But immediately before breakfast, immediately after breakfast, immediately before lunch, immediately after lunch, several times throughout the day, I was eating yogurt like an addict. When I would be driving home from work, all I could think about was sitting in my comfortable chair and eating yogurt. And I'll tell you, many times I didn't even make it to the comfortable chair to eat the yogurt because I was already eating it while I was still standing in the kitchen. And by the time I got to the comfortable chair, the yogurt was pretty much gone. When I would eat spicy food, Chipotle, you know, Italian food, when I would eat these amazing, flavorful foods, every bite was one bite closer to being done and I could have yogurt. You know, it feeds into the I'm a dog reward system. But when I realized how much yogurt I was eating, and my kids actually had an intervention for me, they said, Mom, 15 yogurts a day? Never mind the cost, but you're living to eat yogurt. That's in it. Again, I know some people are probably laughing at me. It seems so stupid. But I discovered that there was like 15, depending on which brand and which flavor I got, there was between 15 and 28 grams of sugar in one cup of yogurt. So ignore the $15 a day or more yogurt habit for cost. Look at the amount of sugar I was consuming. And I was a moody, cranky, annoying person if I didn't get my yogurt. It's the addiction to the sugar, and it's the high that you get, that euphoric feeling of, oh, that's good. I have energy. I feel good. Let's go. I could barely finish one yogurt and I wanted three more. Sugar addiction is different than food addiction because you can still find food to eat that doesn't have sugar in it. So by that, it's a little bit easier to cure, quote unquote cure, if you can manage your diet. The food addiction is anything you eat. You know, even if you're eating, you know, 15 apples a day and 20 nectarines and 8 bananas, you know. And I'm not knocking fruits, believe me, I like fruits. But it's when you eat so obsessively and when you're eating to feel good, to feel happy, that's when it's a problem. There's also addiction to people. And sometimes this looks like a codependent relationship. Sometimes this looks like narcissistic behavior. But the thing with being addicted to a person is you feel empty without that certain person. Or you may feel empty without being in a relationship with anyone. It may not be a certain person. It may just be people in general. And you may not feel complete unless you're in a relationship with another human being. And again, it's just trying to feel like you're enough. And if you find an amazing, wonderful person, and you become needy and cling to them for your dear life, they don't need that kind of pressure to fix you, to make you whole. And no matter how long it lasts, they're probably going to go away. And you're left not only with the same feelings you had before you met them, but now you have that added sense of, why am I not good enough that I couldn't even keep them? I mean, they were interested for a while and now they're gone. what is so horrible about me that I can't keep a person in my life? Pornography. I've had people debate if pornography is an addiction or not. And I will tell you that it is every time, because I've never heard of nor met anyone who has ever looked at pornography once and not thought about it again. When we have feelings of inadequacy and wanting to know what is in the world that we might be missing out on. You know, what am I missing? Some people look at pornography to see what they're missing. Whether it's, I don't have a sex life at all, so I'm going to look at pornography, or it may be, I have a sex life, but I'm still not fulfilled. Because again, sex isn't going to fix you. And some people look at pornography to see what other people are doing so that they can do it, so that maybe then they'll feel complete, maybe then they'll feel whole. Well, I guarantee you, if you talk to especially the women, but also the men, in the pictures of pornography, in the videos of pornography, you will find that the whole reason that they got into pornography is because they didn't have a whole lot of self-worth themselves. So when you're looking at pornography to amp up your sex life, realize that you are essentially copying a sexual gratification lifestyle of people who don't feel complete. Now, if you think you can feel like a whole person by emulating other people who don't feel whole, that's all kinds of messed up. Smoking is an addiction. And when you smoke, you reek from the cigarettes. And your fingers turn yellow. Your lips, teeth, yellow. The chemicals that they add to the nicotine in cigarettes, plus the nicotine itself, are very addictive. And also people get in the habit of holding the cigarette, of gesturing with the cigarette. It becomes like an extension of your body to have a cigarette in your hand. And people do it because it calms them. It supposedly keeps them from gaining weight. And the thing is, when you are a smoker, you may have started smoking to fit in with the crowd. You know, everybody's doing it. I'm going to smoke. My buddies all smoke. But here we are in 2016. Very few people smoke. And as a non-smoker, I can tell you, when I'm standing in line at a grocery store, if someone is five people away from me, I can tell you that they are a serious smoker. You know, if someone is standing right next to me, it's almost overwhelming, the smoke smell. And it's nauseating. And smokers continue to smoke because it's their normal. You know, like I said, it may have started to fit in, but it ends up being, you know, how they cope. It's just part of them. But the very thing that they started doing so they could feel included, here we are in 2016, is many times going to make them feel excluded. You know, it's very difficult to spend time with a smoker when they reek, their clothes, their hair, everything. And you try to spend time with them, but you're gasping for air just from the smoke smell on their clothes. And it doesn't mean that they're bad people, you know, but it can be a reason that some people will delay conversations or completely avoid conversations with smokers, because that smoke smell is overwhelming. Same with the cat smell. We're talking about addiction. Everybody talks about the crazy cat lady. Well, did you ever think that maybe the crazy cat lady is addicted to cats? I mean, we've heard in the news stories of animal hoarding. And it's true, animals do need our love and our compassion and our help sometimes. But when you take in that adorable little kitten and give it a home, and you take in another adorable little kitten and give it a home, and you take in that poor old stray cat that looks ratty and has fleas and whatever, you know, these are loving gestures. But when you have an abundance of cats, and I'm going to leave it up to you to decide what is an abundance, because it depends on the amount of space you have. If you live out on a farm and you have barn cats and there's like 70 of them and they all live in the barn and they roam and hunt and whatever they want to do, and you just give them love and water and a place to sleep, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you live in a small house or a small apartment and you have 70 cats, I'm going to say that's a problem. When people use cats, animals, to feel loved, and animals certainly do give us a lot of love, but when it becomes your life to care for these cats, any animals, dogs, whatever, you're spending your entire life taking care of them, focusing on them, that you don't have a life other than that. And the love that you're giving to these animals could be love that could be shared with kids at a preschool, with single moms who just need somebody to let them know that they're doing it the right way. You know, this love could be shared at veterans hospitals, senior centers. There's another outlet for giving your love. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't love cats and care for them. But when all of your love and energy goes to animals, all of it, realize how many people are missing out on the amazing person that you are. And you may be hiding from being who you are to spend time with your animals. But that's why it's an addiction. You're hiding from a life by trying to be where you feel okay. I've already talked about the shopping addiction, you know, never mind all of the debt, but you also have a mass accumulation of stuff that doesn't make you happy, and now you have to clean and organize the stuff that you bought. George Carlin said, "Trying to find happiness from possessions is like trying to satisfy hunger by taping sandwiches all over your body." I really like that expression. And if he stole it from someone else, or if I've misquoted it, I apologize. But it's very true. And I want you to know that being lonely, having guilt or shame from past abuse or even past actions where we have done wrong to others, feeling inadequate, whether it's not good enough, not smart enough, not important enough, just not enough, feeling misunderstood and abandoned, feeling vulnerable, all of these things are things that we all feel at some point in our lives. And when you use a thing, alcohol, drugs, food, sugar, shopping, kitty cats, to make yourself feel better, you're delaying what you need. And what you need is to discover more of who you are, a way to let go of the guilt and shame, and embracing yourself for all you're worth. Ironically, vulnerability is the key to recovery. It's the very reason that we use to begin with. We feel vulnerable and we don't want to feel vulnerable, so we take drugs or we drink alcohol so that we're not vulnerable. Well, the reality is we're all vulnerable. And when we accept our vulnerability and we acknowledge it and we embrace it, you know, I could be hurt or destroyed by words of another person at any time. instead of hiding from that, realize that your life can also be incredibly blessed by the words of another person at any time. You can recover from your addictions. Everybody knows about Alcoholics Anonymous. There's also Narcotics Anonymous. You can eat healthy. Sometimes you can just get it. All of a sudden, you know you are enough. And if you believe in God, then you know God can heal you in ways you never knew you could be healed. You know, I was raped when I was a child, and here I am talking to aggressors, helping them to heal from what they've been through so they don't repeat their aggression against another child. I'm not that strong. God did that. I'm not that strong. But when you have that desire for something to fulfill you, to complete you, to fix you, and you realize that exactly as you are right now, flaws and all, you are already worthwhile. You are already a complete human being. You're already fixed. You're not broken. You'll have a comfortable peace within you, even in the midst of trouble and chaos. You've been listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio, and healing starts here.